Jamie and Locker with you here in the Green Zone as we celebrate the life and the legend that is Ozzy Osbourne on a day his family passed along the sad news that Ozzy had died at the age of 76, surrounded by loved ones. Black Sabbath, Ozzy Osbourne tunes being requested all day long here on the Green Zone. As we had a text in as well from Kent saying, my ringtone on my phone is Crazy Train. It has been that forever as a fan of Black Sabbath and Ozzy. 1-877-332-8255 if you have a tune you want to hear to honor Ozzy Osbourne on this Tuesday afternoon. But right now, let's get to the Blitz.
Get the latest news on your team from the Green Zone.
The Daily Blitz with Britton Gray.
Britton Gray is here with the Daily Blitz. All the news you need to know about your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Britton, everybody keeps reminding me on last year when it comes to the Edmonton Elks coming to Mosaic Stadium. Remember last year? What happened? The Elks, you know, they sucked and they came in and then they whooped the Riders at Mosaic. That's not going to happen again, is it? You can guarantee a win on Friday?
No, I might pick the Elks this week.
You're not picking the Elks this week. Get out of here.
Listen, this is one of those games, no matter who the quarterback is, who the coaching staff is, who's in that Riders locker room, it just feels like this is set up for one of those disappointments.
That is a trap game?
Yeah, but I really like this Riders team. I really think they will bounce back. I called them beating the BC Lions. I had faith they were going to bounce back like that. But
so did I. Yeah.
But there's something weird, especially if Cody Fajardo gets the start. There's a lot of things that makes me think this could be one of those weird weeks where stuff just kind of happens.
Are you serious?
You're going to take the Elks.
Listen, I have about 12, 13 wins. The losses have to come somewhere, and some of those are going to be weird losses, like against the Calgary Stampeders, who at the time were like, no way they lose against the Calgary Stampeders. There's no way. No way they lose to get the Edmonton Elks. They're 0-7. There's no way that the Riders lose to Edmonton. We're saying that last year.
What's your record right now with the Riders picks?
With the Riders picks? I think I'm 4-2 with the Riders picks. I think I've gotten four right and two wrong.
Just the last two.
Picking the Riders over Calgary and then picking BC.
We did get a text earlier today where they were suggesting they would like Jamie to pick the Elks because then the Riders would win. Or no, hold on. No. What was the text? They're trying to play the reverse game. Reverse psychology game.
Now they're probably thinking that I should pick the Elks because every time I pick against the Riders win. So
that's
just
what it
picking
was.
Against the Riders.
That's what it was.
Because that really impacts the team. They put my picks on the board in the locker room, actually, whenever I pick against them. And they're that motivated and give that many you-know-whats about what I say that it just really gives them an extra boost.
You're motivating the Winnipeg Blue Bombers.
Then you should be picking the Elks this week, Jamie.
I'm not picking the Elks this week.
You need to do this for the team.
No, I'm not picking the Elks this week. I'm not going to guarantee a win, but the Riders are going to beat the Elks this week. That secondary, and it's not only just the quarterback play of the Elks. That defense
is awful.
They are bad. That is a bad defense. And A.J. Ouellette and Sam Emelis and Keyshawn Johnson and Trevor, and the list goes on. I think have a field day on Friday at Mosaic Stadium.
So from practice today, I mean, obviously Kadeem he's not playing again this year. But is there any other news, injury news that we should know about?
Daniel Johnson, once again, not a participant. Darius Washington, who I thought played very well in that game for the fact that he hasn't really practiced at all, came in, played well against the Lions. And Jameer Thurman limited with a toe. That is going to be something to keep an eye on the rest of the week here as they get closer to that because we know how big of a deal he is to that defense. He's the leader. He's one of the active leaders in terms of tackles. He's number two on that list. He's nearing 500. He's a great CFL player, and if he's out this week, that will be something to keep an eye on.
Daryl Davis was bringing up grades today. What did Corey Mace say about the Riders' grade so far in this season?
He's giving them a B. He felt like they've done good things, but nowhere near where they want to be. He's willing to give them a B right now. Okay. But we did have to think on that. I think he was in between of like, well, how? I don't want to praise him too much because we haven't played A football yet.
He's right.
But and then it's like, you know, we're not terrible. Are we a C? He went with a B ultimately, but it's interesting to look at this team because.
So hold on a second.
When
I gave the team a C minus after week one, everybody came, whoa, whoa, whoa. And I said, this is an improvement. And I said, I bet you Corey's grade would be similar to mine. I think he just proved me right today. I think Corey just proved me right.
No, you were too low.
No, I was spot on. And they've progressively. Yeah, I probably wouldn't give him a flat B yet.
I'm giving him a B.
Like B minus maybe?
5-1.
Haven't only one game where you put away a team and a lot.
There's only one team that could arguably be ahead of them.
Do you think this team had?
Are we grading on the curve?
So this team, you need to get to an A. You need to beat the Calgary Stampeders, and they got the you-know-what beat off of them by the Calgary Stampeders. So they're not at an A yet.
No, I'm not saying an A, but I'm saying a B is a healthy. This is how I got through high school.
C's get degrees. All righty. We haven't talked to you since the BC Lions game, by the way. Britton, what's your takeaway from a game that I think the score flattered the BC Lions?
I find it funny how you come back and everyone's complaining that the Riders didn't win by enough. That's really the one thing to take away from that. They were dominant in all three phases. Brett Lauther once again had a good game. The rushing game was there. Trevor Harris was throwing it deep. That's what I like to see. It wasn't just dink and dunk. He was hitting deep balls, big plays to Dante Myers. So I like to see that. The defense, couple penalties here and there that you still want to get rid of. You can make the argument about the roughing the passer that was there, pass interference here and there. But ultimately, they played really well. They handled Nathan Rourke, who struggles against teams that aren't the Edmonton Elks right now. And so I like what I saw, but now it's about building. This team was pretty much the exact same thing last year. 4-0 start, they lose, improve to 5-1. Can they continue to avoid that? That 6-7 game winless streak, because that's the key for this team to not let things snowball this season.
I'm one of those guys, again, very appreciative of the team and the wins and watching what they've done, excited about the rest of the season. But I did get that sense on Saturday when I was watching the game. It was let's just bury these guys. They dominated. And then BC just kind of eased their way back into the conversation towards the end of the game. So I'm in that camp of like, I'd like to see, and that's what I'm hoping happens on Friday. I'd like to see let's just.
A 50-10 type football game.
Yes, let's just bury these guys.
The CFL rules are made for teams to come back. Teams put up points late in games, and it happens sometimes.
You should tweet Luke about that.
Let's. Is Britton a numpty? I don't know. I don't think so.
It's a fluid list we found out from Luke.
As he said, I don't know if you guys are actually on the list. It's fluid. Comes and goes. Real quick, before Britton goes anywhere, it's unlike Jerry Jones not to make some noise at the start of Dallas Cowboys training camp talking about a contract extension for Micah Parsons.
Just because we sign him doesn't mean we're going to have him. He was hurt 6 games last year. Seriously. We've signed, I remember signing a player for the highest paid at the position in the league, and he got knocked out 2/3 of the year, Dak Prescott. So there's a lot of things you can think about when you, just as the player does, when you're thinking about committing and guaranteeing money.
Britton, what's up with the Cowboys and Jerry Jones?
Tell me another general manager who's willing to go out there and just take shots at their starting quarterback and best defensive player. I don't know.
Because Micah Parsons responded today and he said, I do this for the guys. I do this for me. I don't do this for Jerry. How's Jerry Jones going to handle that comment? Will someone take the keys away from Jerry Jones?
Been waiting for over a decade for that, longer even, for someone to come in and just say, Jerry, just enjoy the games, bud. Just sit back in your suite, enjoy your billion-dollar stadium. Let us run a football team.
Fascinating to me. Do you think this will impact Micah Parsons?
He'll probably have 15 sacks this year. Motivation.
Interesting times for the Dallas Cowboys.
He can't help himself.
No, he can't. Right? That's why so many people go to that opening news conference, because you know Jerry's going to say something crazy. You just know he's going to say something. And Jerry, I think, goes there going, I'm going to say something crazy, and I can't wait to see how people handle it. I wonder how many radio hosts he's going to threaten with their jobs this year. That was a fun time last year.
I think he goes with the knowledge that no one can tell him he can't go. I think that's probably more.
That's probably something to do with it.
You know what? I can go, and I'm going to upset people. And guess what? No one can tell me I can't go.
Well, Britton, I know you have a lot more coverage on the Riders and Kadeem Carey's status and everything else at CJME.com, CKOM.com, and following you on social media as well. See you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
We'll see what Jerry says over the next 24 hours to troll Britton on the Green Zone. Still to come, we'll talk some Blue Jays baseball. We had a nice chat with Nick Ashburn before today. Now, I have to say, before today's game, because it's already 3-0 Yankees for this one. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie and Locker with you here in the Green Zone as the requests keep coming in to honor now late Ozzy Osbourne. Died earlier at the age of 76, as announced his family, the Black Sabbath and his solo career. And
I was actually kind of shocked today when I heard that news.
Well, they just did the show, what was it, 2-3 weeks ago in London, the final show.
I knew he was not doing well. I knew he had health complications, but you just, at the back of your mind, I just didn't think that we would lose Ozzy this early.
So Ozzy Osbourne, the legend, you can honor him with a request this afternoon here on the Green Zone, 1-877-332-8255. Let's get you up to date on our game of the night. It's already underway. It's the New York Yankees and the Toronto Blue Jays at the Rogers Center. The Jays have won 11 straight at home and not going great in the first inning. Jazz Chisholm has as many home runs tonight as I think he got in the home run derby. He's got one. Three-run shot. For a 3-0 Yankee lead, as the Jays try to rally here in the bottom half to get some runs. They got one back, so it's now 3-1, 2-on for the Jays. And Locker's going to be distracted because Alejandro Kirk is up to the plate here. With the Jays and the Yankees. The Rough Riders back at it. Expect Kadeem Carey to be lost for the season, says head coach Corey Mace after the gruesome leg injury suffered in the win over the BC Lions over the weekend. Of course, who are they going to play at quarterback? Another day, another split for the reps of Trey Ford and Cody Fajardo at Edmonton Elks practices. Mark Killam will wait until depth chart day to officially announce a starter for Friday's game in Saskatchewan. Meanwhile, other quarterback news, Zach Collaros was practicing with the Bombers after leaving the game against Calgary. Pitch. And also,
told you.
You have Chad Kelly practicing for the Toronto Argonauts, although not taking first-team reps. Nick Arbuckle still taking first-team reps for the Argonauts today.
Come on, Kirk.
Defensive back Deshaun Amos is meeting with the CFL with a hearing after the hit on Drew Brown as they decide if it's going to be a fine or a suspension for the Hamilton Tiger Cat defensive back. Coming up next here on the Green Zone, we're going to have a baseball chat. Nick Ashburn joins us of Sportsnet to talk more Blue Jays as they continue to be red hot going into tonight's game. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Good tune. Children of the Grave, Black Sabbath. As we honor the life of Ozzy Osbourne, died earlier today at the age of 76, was the announcement from the family. As the requests continue to come in at 1-877-332-8255 to honor the late Ozzy Osbourne. Jays game is underway, 3-1 Yankees after the top half of the second inning already. Before this game, we are able to talk to Nick Ashburn of Sportsnet and Blue Jays Happy Hour podcast on the state of the Jays, the expectations moving forward, and wanted to know if he was Ross Atkins and the general manager, what moves he would be making leading up to next week's trade deadline.
Realistically, you're going to see some kind of action in the bullpen. You know, Jimmy Garcia was someone they were counting on for the late innings, and not necessarily the ninth, but in the eighth and the seventh in tough spots. You know, he brought the velocity, and, you know, he was just a really effective veteran guy you could count on. Now they're a little thin down there. They could probably use a lefty and a righty. So I could see probably two pitchers coming in the door in the bullpen. And then there's been a lot of rumors about another starter, which, you know, they do have guys. You know, they've got five guys in the rotation now, but one of them is, you know, Max Scherzer on the wrong side of 40 dealing with a thumb injury. One of them is Eric Lauer, who as recently as last year was pitching in Korea, and we don't really know how long his success is going to last. And then the guy coming, Alek Manoah, we don't know when he's coming back, and it's been a long time since we've seen him be really effective. So even though there's quantity in the rotation, there's not necessarily the quality that they want. That seems like it's going to be the focus. A couple of relievers, a starter, wouldn't be shocked if there's a right-handed bat, but now we're starting to ask for a lot here.
Nick, 1-9, this team has been very consistent, very impressive, but is there someone that has jumped out at you as a standout, as someone to highlight on a conversation on the Green Zone? And
I mean, the guy who I think is becoming maybe a folk hero might be a bit of a stretch, but has taken on a lot of the fan base's imagination is Addison Barger, because this is a player who came up as a rookie last year, and he looked a little bit lost. He was a little over-aggressive. His approach wasn't fantastic. We'd heard about all the power he'd shown in the minor leagues. It didn't really translate to the majors, and his second shot at Major League Baseball has been a totally different story. He's a lot more composed. Suddenly all those tools he has, that raw strength, the power, it's a little bit more refined. He's picking his spots better. And suddenly this guy is a middle-of-the-order force that they were kind of hoping Anthony Santander was going to be when they signed him to a big contract in the offseason. He was ineffective. He got hurt. Barger stepped up, and he's playing a critical role for the team, driving in runs and putting the ball over the fence pretty consistently.
Of course, Bo Bichette says is the best team I've ever played on. Statistically, right now in this part of the season, they are, absolutely. So how far are we going here, Nick? Like, Jays fans, how far into October should the expectations be for this team?
I mean, I don't want to pour too much cold water on anything because this is a magical moment. I think it's still fair to say as much as their record is up there with some of the other teams in the league, they would be in kind of the second tier of contenders. I still don't think you see them alongside, you know, the Dodgers, the Tigers, teams like that on pure talent, the Mets or Phillies when they're really going. But first of all, we'll see what they do at the deadline. That could play a role. I think the expectation at this point is to at least advance in the playoffs. Like, you know, you got to get there. They could still fall off in the second half, but it's looking fairly likely that they're going to get there. And this wall they've run up against in this era has been they've been unable to do anything in the playoffs. In 2020, you know, that team was kind of ahead of schedule, wasn't really expected to do anything. But then, you know, in 2022 and 2023, those clubs people thought could potentially do something, and neither of them were able to win a game in the playoffs. So advancing in the postseason, I think, is kind of the low end of the expectation, whether that's winning a wild card round or if they're able to climb higher and avoid that round, winning a divisional round. That's what people definitely want to see. And then from then on out, it's about, you know, who's getting hot at the right time and just seeing where the ride takes you.
Just a quick follow-up on if they make it to the playoffs. Will Jose Barrios stay in the game this time if they make the playoffs?
You'd like to think people have learned their lesson and don't make the same mistakes multiple times. We'll have to see.
So after last night, Nick, the Jays have 11 straight at home. Toronto hasn't always been a dominant home team. They have their moments. And right now they have the best home record in the MLB. Now, can we give a little bit of love to the fans? Because from all accounts, Jays games have been pretty exciting to go to. Is the team feeding off of that?
I think there's something to be said for it. I mean, you look at their home record right now today, they're 36-16, and on the road, they're 23-25. Now, a lot of teams do better at home. You know, it's easier when you sleep in your own bed and you have the same routine. I get that. But there is something to be said for it. You know, they're consistently selling out right now. They're really hitting the ball well at home. I think when they had some of their renovations at first, people suspected that it might be good for the hitters, the way some of the fences were moving, the dimension of the park, and the exact opposite happened. It ended up being really pitcher-friendly initially. I think the team has sort of started to figure out how to hit in this ballpark. There are some guys like Vladdy and Dalton Varsho in 2023 that really struggled at home when at first the alignment got a bit funky. Again, I just think over a couple of years they started to figure out how that plays. But there's definitely energy in this park. Like, it is filled up on a consistent basis. It is loud. It is a strong atmosphere. Like, this is a team that has captured the imagination of the city a little bit. And they did that when they swept the Yankees the first time, because suddenly you got headlines going around that say Blue Jays sweep Yankees top of AL East. Now, you don't have to be a baseball sicko to know that's a big deal. Suddenly the more casual fans are starting to get on board. And now that's been building for a couple weeks now. And instead of there being a letdown in the immediate wake of that moment of excitement, they've only carried that momentum further forward.
Nick Ashburn joining us, writing for Sportsnet, co-host of the Blue Jays Happy Hour podcast, as well as the Jays continue to be red hot. But now here, you said you don't want to pour cold water on it. here I am. Are there people in Toronto who's covered the Jays, who are fans of the Jays, who are just waiting for the bad news to happen? Is there that, okay, when do they go on their seven-game slide and fall out of the AL East? Or is there just way more optimism than pessimism in Toronto right now?
I mean, we'll see what happens with this Yankee series. I think if the Yankees had come in to this series we're watching right now and they'd swept the Jays, that would have been really big. I think even the Jays getting one win out of three, and again, there are two games left to be played, so we'll see how that goes. I think one win even sort of holds things at bay because they're guaranteed to have sole possession of the division lead. Yeah, you know, there's some aspect of that with Toronto sports. You know, a lot of Jays fans are Leafs fans. That's the reality of it. A lot of Leafs fans have become accustomed with expecting the worst, but it's not quite exactly the same crowd. I don't think the exact level of fatalism is there. But, yeah, the lack of even winning a playoff game in those recent years that I outlined, that's part of it. The fact that some of the underlying numbers are a little bit better for some of the other teams around them, that's part of it. There's certainly an idea of no one is 100% sure how they've been quite as good as they've been. And so there's some aspect where there could be another shoe to drop, but I don't think that that means a total collapse is in the cards.
So let's dig into that, Nick. No one's really sure, and every time we have a conversation about the Jays on the Green Zone, that kind of actually, that conversation sort of, we get into it a bit. So the Jays right now are the top of the league in batting average, OBP, and hits. What adjustments have you seen them make that would give them that sort of offensive spark this year? Have you noticed anything? Can you pinpoint anything?
Yeah, I mean, those numbers that you've quoted, like, they've been outstanding at putting the bat on the ball. The contact rate is there. They're not striking out. They're extremely pesky and difficult to pitch to. Like, they are, I think that they genuinely exhaust opposing pitching sometimes, because some, whether it's the long, tough at bats, like the one we saw from Davis Schneider last night, or just the fact that it's the eighth and ninth hitters who are coming up with big hits, that sometimes when pitchers are kind of mentally thinking they're going to get a break, and that never seems to happen. So there's an aspect to that where the whole lineup seems to be contributing. I think that there's some good managerial work happening where John Schneider is really running his platoons pretty tight, and he's making sure everybody's in the right matchup at the right time. And so, you know, you have, again, this sort of pesky lineup. It's difficult to strike out. The ball is always in play. They're forcing opponents to play defense. We saw that with the Yankees. You know, sometimes when you give the other team an opportunity to make a mistake, they'll do that. But the difference is that we've seen that a little bit in 2023 and 2024. Like, they were good at putting the ball in play. They even got on base fairly well. But what they lacked was the punch to bring that around. And they're still not a great home run hitting team, although they've been better in the last few months. But there's just enough there. Like I mentioned, Addison Barger coming through as a left-handed power bat has been huge. George Springer bouncing back as a major power threat has been a big factor.
My boy, you know, Kirk.
Alejandro.
Alejandro Kirk, couple doubles last night. You know, he's been much better. So even if the power isn't elite, you've got the elite contact and the elite on base, and you're pairing it with sort of solid power. And that is enough to be pretty substantial from a run-scoring perspective. And then, you know, Anthony Santander comes back at some point late in the season. Maybe he can provide even more of that. Dalton Varsho is not too far away. Like, there's reasons to be optimistic of this offense that goes beyond saying, oh, all these role players are doing really well, because some of these guys will come back, and you won't necessarily need, you know, a Joey Loperfido or a Will Wagner to come up with a big hit, because it'll be a better-known player like Dalton Varsho or Santander.
That is Nick Ashburn from Sportsnet and the Blue Jays Happy Hour podcast. Wherever you find your podcast, you can check out his work with he and Andrew Stoughton, formerly of The Athletic. But right now, the Jays are trailing 3-1, bottom of the second. Two men on for the Toronto Blue Jays right now against the Yankees. Coming up next, a champ and a chump from the same story going on in sports next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
You two are winners, big winners.
I think you're shagadelic, baby. You're switched on, you're smashing.
You tried your best. And you failed miserably.
The only thing I'm addicted to right now is winning.
You're an idiot.
You're a bad person.
Each every day, one champ, one chump on the Green Zone. The champ and chump come from the same story, in fact. The chump goes to, first off, the owner, general manager, and czar of the Dallas Cowboys, Jerry Jones, when talking about a contract extension with Micah Parsons and trying to get a deal done to lock him up and make sure they keep him as a Cowboy.
Just because we sign him doesn't mean we're going to have him. He was hurt six games last year. Seriously. We've signed, I remember signing a player for the highest paid at the position in the league, and he got knocked out two-thirds of the year, Dak Prescott. So there's a lot of things you can think about when you, just as the player does, when you're thinking about committing and guaranteeing money.
Stop talking.
Well, Jerry, he actually missed four, not six games. Anyways, chump Jerry Jones for, again, opening his mouth when he's trying to negotiate with one of his star players. Champ goes to J.J. Watt.
How many people sent that to Doc?
Many, I imagine.
His phone went nuts.
J.J. Watt said, anytime you can publicly take a dig at your star quarterback and your star pass rusher simultaneously right before the season begins, you just got to take it. Nothing makes guys want to fight for you more than hearing how upset you are that they got hurt while fighting for you. J.J. Watt standing up for the players, but extra special is who retweeted that comment from J.J. Watt. Micah Parsons did, of the Dallas Cowboys.
Good for him. I was surprised to see that he had
retweeted it, but good for him, right? It's tough, right? Because it's the boss and he signs the checks. But when he puts his foot in his mouth.
I am enjoying that the power is shifting back to the player a little bit. I know a lot of people don't. Just play for your boss. He tells you how much you make and you'd be happy to be there. But the amount of risk and injury these guys put on their own line, like that Micah Parsons, he can stand there. And he did today talking to reporters. And he didn't shoot back necessarily.
But you can't get into trouble.
What are you going to do, Jerry? You going to cut me? Okay, fine. Cut me. We'll see how that works out for you, Jer.
I'll go to the Commanders. Yeah. You can get into a little bit of trouble when the inmates start running things, right? That can be a problem. So I understand it. You got to be careful. It can shift too far the other way. I mean, look at what's happening
in the NBA.
In the NBA and in Toronto. I think maybe Tree Living might put a little bit of a stop to it this year, but that's a case of where.
Love that J.J. Watt stood up for the guys and Jerry. Actually, I should champ Jerry Jones. What are we chumping him for? Champ Jerry Jones for giving us content for a radio show day after day.
You're the season champ. Hasn't even started yet, Jerry. Thank you.
Jerry Jones. I'd like to strike that chump from the record.
We take it back.
You're champ Jerry Jones for the content provided to us and every other talk show in North America.
Look at us spinning a positive.
Keep it up, Jerry.
Thank you,
Jerry. We love you.
You're a good guy.
Time now for the Green Zone 1 Minute Drill, the latest in sports. Yankees got off to a hot start. 3-run shot in the first half of the first inning as they continue to lead the Blue Jays. Max Scherzer is on the line for the Jays, trying to keep that win streak alive at home. 11 straight home wins for the Blue Jays. And Kadeem Carey will be done for the season after that ugly leg injury against the BC Lions. More on the CFL stories coming up on the Day in Review next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.